Good morning. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this first Monday of 2008. I'm Joy Cardine, and I'm happy you've joined us on this foggy Monday morning, January the 7th. Please take it slow on the roads today. Dense fog is expected until midday over much of Wisconsin. Did anyone on your Christmas list get a video game for Christmas? My niece got Guitar Nation and Dance Revolution. I think those are the names of those games, courtesy of my gamer nephew. And the question we will ask you this hour is, should there be an extra tax imposed on video games to help fund the juvenile justice system? We will talk with a state senator who wants to change Wisconsin law and put 17-year-olds who commit non-violent offenses, like shoplifting, for example, put those 17-year-olds through the juvenile justice system and get them treatment and rehabilitation as juveniles and not put them into the adult system, as is currently the case. But in order to pay for it, he is suggesting a tax on video games, the sales and rentals of video games. Do you like this idea or not? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is John Erpenbach, a Democratic state senator from Middleton. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing, Joy?
Good. Happy New Year.
You too. And you're right, it was Dance Revolution. That's the big game. And the other big game is Guitar Hero.
Oh, Hero. I said Guitar Nation.
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't get to play those this Christmas, but I want to. They look like a lot of fun. Are you a gamer?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a 15-year-old son, and I have a 12-year-old daughter. She likes Dance Revolution. He's loves Guitar Hero, and we sit around and play them.
Yeah. So, why did you think it might be a good idea to impose an extra fee on video games to help fund this bill?
Well, no particular reason, really. I've always felt that when a legislator comes up with an idea that's going to cost money, they have to find a way to pay for it. And so, this is one idea that that we had, was to put a 1% tax on the sale of consoles and video games and so on. And if somebody has a better idea how to pay for it, that's fine. Nobody really is arguing with the merits of the legislation. Most people, I think it's a good idea to take nonviolent 17-year-olds and run them through the juvenile system as opposed to the adult system right now.
Mm.
And right now, prosecutors don't even have a choice. In other words, if somebody's disorderly conduct, drinking ticket, whatever the case may be, if you're 17, you have to go through the adult system, and that's not necessarily the best way to go.
Yeah, you're not saying that video games cause the kids to commit these nonviolent offenses.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Why do you think it's a problem that a 17-year-old is put through the adult system?
Well, there's been some studies on this now, and it's about 34-35% of those who do run through the adult system for nonviolent offenses have a chance of repeating later on in life. And then, it's on their record permanently, and there's just a better way to deal with it. There's a better way to deal with it through treatment, through the juvenile setting, as opposed to the adult system. Now, again, we're just talking about nonviolent offenses here. If it's a violent offense, they're still run through the adult system just like they are today.
Yeah. Why would it cost a lot of money to have the 17-year-old in the juvenile system as opposed to the adult system?
Well, these are the numbers that are kind of staggering if you think about it. About 30,000 17-year-olds are arrested each year, and about 98% of those are nonviolent offenses. So I think we'd save some money in the adult system, but I don't know how this would not cost money. So, again, we're not certain how much it's going to cost, but at the very least, the responsible thing to do is, if it's going to cost some money, is to come up with a way to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, I've been looking at some of the response to this, and a lot of people are saying, hey, don't tax my video games for this. What's your reaction to the response?
Well, yeah, I've been reading it. A lot of bloggers are kind of going nuts on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I guess I don't blame them. And I've never once, tried to draw the correlation between violence, because we're dealing with nonviolent offenders here. And video games, it's just one idea to pay for it. And if there's another way to pay for it, we should probably, or a better way to pay for it, we should do that, obviously. But I'm not surprised on their reaction at all either. I mean, I'm really not. If I'm them, I'd probably be a little upset too.
Our guest is John Erpenbach, a Democratic state senator from Middleton, who is proposing that 17-year-olds who commit nonviolent offenses in Wisconsin should be treated as minors, not adults. And in order to pay for this change in state law, he is proposing a tax on video games, a 1% tax on the sale and or rental of video games and consoles. And we wonder what you think about this. What questions do you have? If there's not a tax on video games, Senator Erpenbach says he'll, you know, he's open to other sources of funding. What should that be? What do you think of this idea? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, January the 7th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Ben and his guest talking about current issues of the day between 4 and 6 this afternoon. Right now, we're talking with State Senator John Erpenbach, who is proposing a bill that would put 17-year-olds in Wisconsin who commit nonviolent offenses into the juvenile justice system and not the adult system as they are currently treated. 17-year-olds are treated automatically as adults. He says they should be treated as minors for nonviolent offenses. And in order to pay for this change, he's proposing a tax on video games. What's your reaction to that? What questions do you have? Does it make sense to you to put 17-year-olds through the juvenile justice system as opposed to the adult justice system? Does it make sense to you to pay for that with a tax on video games? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. To the phones we go, and Jason in Dodgeville is our first caller. Hi, Jason. You're on the air.
Hi. How's it going?
Pretty good. How's it going for you?
Pretty good. I am a 25-year-old gamer. I've been a gamer probably since I was about 10 years old. And I just really don't see why I should have to pay an extra tax on my games to pay for a juvenile delinquency system when... you know, the money is already there. If they're going into the adult system, how is it going to cost more if they're now going to be in the juvenile system? The adult system is overtaxed. The juvenile system isn't even at capacity. I don't understand how it's going to cost more money, and I don't understand why I should have to pay extra tax for something that probably won't even cost more.
All right. Senator Erpenbach?
Well, it may not cost more, but if it does, and chances are it probably will, you know, I'm just proposing a certain way to pay for it. Again, getting back to those numbers, Joy, about 30,000 17-year-olds are arrested each year. 98% of that are for nonviolent offenses. So if this were to become law, you know, those 98% of the 30,000 would be running through a juvenile system. Some counties might be in a position to handle it. Most probably wouldn't be. There would be a savings on the adult system, as you said, because they wouldn't be running through the adult system, but we don't know how much it is. Mm-hmm. And this is a situation where it could very easily turn into an unfunded mandate, and I've never been a big fan of those. So, again, this is, you know, one guy saying, okay, we're going to try and do this. This is one way to pay for it. If you don't like it, let's try and find another way.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, you're not wedded to this particular funding mechanism, but why would it make sense to put a tax on a video game when Jason in Dodgeville says why should he have to pay for these 17-year-olds?
Well, we pay for all sorts of things that don't have a direct correlation, mm-hmm. correlation to us personally. I mean, if you pay a fee for something, chances are you're using that service. But, you know, we're paying for all sorts of things through a sales tax or an income tax that really don't have a lot to do with your personal life or specific life or your you know, personal setting, I guess, so to speak. But at the same time, this is a situation where I don't, you know, the counties are already overburdened with all sorts of other financial mandates that the state's never paid for, and this would be another one if we don't come up with a way to pay for it.
Yeah. Steve from Luxembourg wants to know who determines who determine what is a violent crime and what's not?
That's all laid out in statute. Mm-hmm. Again, we're dealing with nonviolent offenses here, and I'll give you an example. Like, again, a drinking ticket, shoplifting, anything anything that doesn't involve violence essentially would be run through the juvenile system as opposed to the adult setting. And there's been so many situations where prosecutors, and keep in mind these are the prosecutors who have said, you know, we should be running this person through the juvenile setting as opposed to the adult setting. And again, you take a look further on down the road, and there's a chance someone repeats simply because they went through the adult system. And at 17, it's on your record. It might be tougher to get a job. You know, later on in life, it might be tougher to get a house or get an apartment, whatever the case may be. But there's a smarter, more cost-effective way to handle these kids, and that's through the juvenile setting.
Yeah. Eric in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Eric.
Hello. I just had a comment about 17-year-olds going to being tried as adults. I and some other folks I know who had to go to county jail when we were 17. It was the last time we ever got arrested. And, it scared us enough to scare us straight, I guess you could say. That's all. I think I'll take my comment off the air.
Eric, are you still there?
Yes.
Do you mind telling us what was it, a non-violent offense that you committed as a 17-year-old and ended up going to a county jail?
Yeah, shoplifting.
Yeah. And you think that going through some sort of treatment and rehabilitation rather than going to adult jail wouldn't be as effective?
I don't think so, because you're probably going to end up with a bunch of kids anyway, and you're still going to feel like a minor, and you're still going to feel like a kid, even though you're technically a kid. You're technically not. I mean, you're old enough to know better.
Yeah. Well, what about that, Senator Erpenbach? Here's someone who was treated as an adult for shoplifting when he was 17, and he says it scared him straight.
Yeah, for some kids it probably does. Mm-hmm. But for other kids, I'm sure it doesn't. And again, it's a situation where Eric, for example, for shoplifting, I'm sure it costs La Crosse County a little bit of money to do it that way, as opposed to, the juvenile setting, which, could have been just as good for Eric or not, I don't know, but it certainly would have saved La Crosse County a little bit of money.
Yeah. To
run through the juvenile system.
How would it be different for Eric if it were your law passed and it was a juvenile system that he went through instead?
Well, for Eric specifically, I don't know. But again, you just take a look at the numbers of the studies that, about 34 or 35% of the juveniles that run through the adult system, repeat as mm-hmm. offenders later on in life. And that, just looking at the cost of what it's going to cost the state to deal with something like that, we can save, even half of those 34%, we'd be saving some money.
But if a 17-year-old is treated as a juvenile, what would that mean? It means that they would go to some sort of...
whether it be the judge, there's a lot more flexibility in a juvenile mm-hmm. setting as opposed to an adult setting. So it might mean treatment, it might mean community service, it could mean all sorts of different things, but mm-hmm. right now in the court system, prosecutors' hands are tied, the judge's hands are tied, they're in an adult setting, and these are the guidelines for the adult setting. Yeah. And I get back to this comment, Joy, that nobody's really arguing with the merits of the policy. The big debate is on how we're paying for it.
Yeah, but obviously there was some reason way back whenever that the 17-year-olds were considered adults for nonviolent offenses.
Right, I think it, and I'm not certain about this, but I don't even remember back, was it the late 80s, early 90s, where we did this huge get tough on crime thing, and everybody's going to jail mm-hmm. for this and that, and I think the 17-year-olds sort of got swept up in that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some just horrific examples of juveniles who are very violent and should be treated in the adult system, but the majority, 98% of those arrested each year, are nonviolent, and that's just not the way to deal with it.
Next, we go to Megan in. Where are you from, Megan?
Miguanago.
Okay, go ahead.
I totally agree with you, Senator. Really, jails and prisons tend to do very bad things to people, and a lot of people just forget how idiotic 17-year-olds are. They're kids. They're kids and they're dopey, and they don't really deserve to be treated like adults because they're not. And it stands to reason to tax video games. They're fun, they're great, but they're totally a luxury. And they're a luxury that's played mostly by young people who actually have time and expendable income because they don't have kids. So mm-hmm. I totally agree. Well, and I'll take comments up here.
So there's somebody who agrees with you, John Erpenbach.
Well, that's good. I think I'll just hang out with Megan all day today.
Thank you, Megan, for the call. Wallet in Whitewater. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm one of these conservative curmudgeons. I understand your proposal in terms of how to pay for this, but it leads me to suggest an alternative. In general, I think people who are convicted of activities that have an adverse social impact should in some way have to pay for the impact, not the general population or specific segments of the general population. And in that vein, I would suggest that we have a two-status income tax system. People who don't commit crimes that have an adverse impact on the economy, et cetera, and people who do. It would be something very simple, like if you're convicted, your income tax rate would go up some small percentage. And it could be forever or it could be time limited.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you called in with that suggestion, Wallet, but...
Because he said he wanted our suggestions for alternatives to pay for this specific proposal.
All right, there's Wallet's alternative, Senator Erpenbach.
Well, I do know that usually when someone's, even through juvenile settings, there's usually fines involved, and so those who are offending do pay for it. The situation, though, might be where, again, you're dealing with, in his example, we're dealing with 17-year-olds who probably have either a minimum wage job or something that pays pretty close to it, and up in their income tax for a little while might generate a little bit of money, but not nearly enough, I don't think, to pay for what we're dealing with here.
Yeah. Of course, it's probably more likely mom and dad who are going to be paying this tax.
Obviously, if it's a younger gamer, then chances are the parents are picking it up. I know that, for example, for Christmas, my son got some video stuff that dealt with his video gaming console and stuff. And, yeah, we paid for it because it was, it was a present. But at the same time, he's got a job. And for his, if he wants a new game, I said, that's great, that's fine, you're paying for it.
Yeah.
I mean, these games are, they're not necessarily cheap. You're dealing with $50 or $60 or $70 or $80, depending on the gaming console you're using. But, again, it's a situation where, Wallet had one idea as to how to pay for it. I'm not certain that that's necessarily going to be able to work, but it's an idea.
Yeah. And we thank Wallet for calling in, and we invite you to call in with your questions and reactions for John Erpenbach, a Democratic state senator from Middleton, who is proposing a tax on video games to help fund a proposal that he has to put 17-year-olds who commit nonviolent crimes in Wisconsin into the juvenile justice system rather than the adult justice system, which is currently the case. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Monday, January the 7th. Well, as we just heard in state news, the video gaming industry is not very happy with a proposal from our guest this hour. We are talking with John Erpenbach, a Democratic state senator from Middleton, who is the state lawmaker who is proposing this 1% tax on video games and video game consoles to help pay for a change in state law that he is proposing to put 17-year-olds who commit nonviolent offenses in Wisconsin into the juvenile justice system rather than automatically, as is the case now, putting them into the adult system. We wonder if you think a tax on video games to fund this would be discriminatory, as the video gaming industry is saying, and whether you agree that this would be wrong to somehow equate video games with juvenile crime. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Senator Erpenbach is not linking video games with juvenile crime. He is just looking for a funding source to treat the 17-year-olds in the juvenile justice system. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Senator Erpenbach, what's your response to the video gaming industry that we just heard in state news calling your tax discriminatory and that it's not right to link their product with juvenile crime?
Yeah, they're fuming. And if I'm them, I wouldn't be real thrilled to death about this. But I'm not linking it to juvenile crime at all. I'm just saying this is a way to pay for it. They have a responsibility to protect what they're selling and try to make it, as inexpensive as they can, but at the same time make some money off of it, just like any company. So if I'm them, I'd be a little upset about this too. But a lot of people did jump to the conclusion that because we're dealing with 17-year-olds and we're dealing with video games, that, I'm drawing a correlation between violence and those who play video games. I'm not. I'm just simply saying this is one funding source that we can use to pay for it.
Yeah. And you didn't decide to impose this fee on, eggs.
Right.
You did pick video games, though, because why? Because they're sort of a kids thing, or what?
Well, that's what some people think, and it's been suggested, that kids are the ones who, the majority of the ones who do play the video games are kids. And some people think that, you're dealing with kids here, and this is going to cost money because of 17-year-olds, and most 17-year-olds are gamers, so therefore you're drawing the correlation. Not necessarily. Again, it's a situation where if this isn't the best way to pay for it, then let's try and find another way to deal with it. We don't obviously have a lot of money laying around at the state capitol right now. And this is going to cost money. In the long run, it's going to save money, but right now it's going to cost money, so this is one way to pay for it.
Next, we go to Costas in Fort Atkinson. Good morning.
Good morning to both of you. Just a brief couple of comments here. The first one is I work for the Department of Corrections. I'm not representing anybody's opinion except for my own here. But my concern is that the lower echelons of the employees or Department of Corrections that will be implementing this idea are usually not advised and do not have a chance to provide their feedback. Secondarily, a lot of non-assault, in my experience, and I have been a probation agent for 7 years in the adult system, non-violent offenders are usually the ones that actually receive the least amount of services, but usually have higher needs because of drug use or other addictive behavior. And because they are treated as non-assaultive, they actually receive the least amount of services. And the last thing I'm going to say is that we usually use instruments to evaluate the person's risk and propensity to reoffend, and to use some sort of a cookie cutter that says if you're 17, you go here or there, might fail some people like Eric that called earlier that needed a little bit more than that. Mm-hmm. So I know it's a lot of comments, but my point is before implementing this, ask the people who do this every day for a living. And I'm talking about the lower level. I'm talking about mid-level management or higher-level management.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Costas. You're going to ask Costas and others like him about this before implementing it, Senator Rippenbach?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But at the same time, I mean, they've sort of been involved as we've been going along in the process. The county's association supports this. AFSCME, which represents those who do work in corrections, supports it. So it's a situation where, I mean, he brings up a really good point. A lot of time we legislators sit there and we come up with what we think are brilliant ideas for legislation. We don't necessarily consult those who have to deal with it. But what I've always personally tried to make it a point not only to consult beforehand, but if something does become law, revisit the issue with them later on and ask them how it's working. So the situation, I mean, he brings up a really good point in that, too, that you're dealing with, specific individuals here, and individuals are different. Mm-hmm. And it might be better for one individual to treat, you know, them a certain way as opposed to another individual. But right now, we don't have that option. Right now, it's you're 17, you're arrested for shoplifting or disorderly conduct, you run through the adult system. There's absolutely no flexibility at all.
Yeah. He also made the point that the offenders, the nonviolent offenders, might need more services than they get. They're kind of low on the totem pole, but they could use more rehab.
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, we're dealing with a situation where there isn't any flexibility right now to really even mm-hmm. try and deal with that. They're sent through the adult system. And obviously those who work in corrections, when you're dealing with those in the adult system, when it comes to services, whether it's counseling, whether it's education, whatever the case may be, you're dealing with those who really tend to be a lot more violent than someone who's sitting in jail because they shoplifted.
Yeah, and again, one of the reasons you want to make this change is that you think the 17-year-old who goes to jail for shoplifting or whatever...
I don't think they should be in jail for shoplifting. No.
Yeah, and you think that they also could learn some pretty bad habits from the hardcore adults who are there
right.
with them. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and again, it's getting back to the studies. Studies show that, you know, a nonviolent offender who's a juvenile has a 34 or 35% chance of repeating a crime later on in life, and that's something we don't want to see.
Yeah. Thanks to Costas. Paul in Menominee is with us now. Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
Morning.
Question for the senator is, in putting together your proposal, have you studied or looked at other states and how they're handling this type of a question?
No, we haven't. All I do know is that other states are trying to figure out different ways to deal with nonviolent juveniles. So it's a situation where we as a state went one way, I think probably a little too dramatically, and some other states did the same thing too. But what they're doing is some states are trying to pull back as well. How they're paying for it specifically, or if anybody's gotten any legislation through, I haven't seen that yet.
Thanks very much, Paul. Next we go to Jesse and Sullivan. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess my question and concern is, rather than adding a new tax, have you guys thought about possibly trying to reduce spending elsewhere, say, cutting dismantling a committee from a failed venture in the past or something of that nature? I guess I always hear of new tax. What about,
right.
Less spending?
You bring up a really good point, and we're always looking for ways to cut spending. One of the ways I'd love to see us to cut spending is to have less contracting out of state services. In some cases, in a lot of cases, it's actually cheaper to have a state employee do something as opposed to get rid of the position and then hire out a contractor, because chances are it's going to cost a little more money in the long run. But we're always looking for ways to cut money. But when you're dealing with cuts specifically in corrections, it's a very difficult place to try and cut from. I mean, they're pretty lean as it is right now, and the more you take a look at corrections and the more you try to cut, you're going to be cutting into whether it be services that the inmates are getting or, you know, actual staff who are working the prison. So we're always looking for ways to spend money smarter. We're always looking for ways to cut where we possibly can. And so on this particular issue, we just couldn't find the money to pay for something like this. So, again, this is why we've come up with the idea to pay for it.
An emailer wonders, Guitar Hero and Dance Revolution are the two most popular games, but they are not violent. Why
right.
tax nonviolent games? Why not tax violent games to deal with? Yeah, I guess that's the suggestion.
Well, we're dealing with, you know, again, we're dealing with games as a whole, mm-hmm. and we're not dealing with violent offenders. And if we were to tax violent video games, then I would be saying that, yep, there's a correlation. And I don't think there is. I haven't seen anything that says there is. And I don't know if we'd be able to tax one type of game versus another type of game.
Our guest is John Erpenbach, a Democratic state senator from Middleton, talking with us about his proposal to change state law and put 17-year-olds who commit nonviolent offenses in Wisconsin into the juvenile justice system and not the adult justice system. That's currently the case. In order to pay for this, he is also proposing a 1% tax on video games and video game machines on top of the 5% sales tax. What do you think of this idea? What questions do you have? Does this make sense? Both aspects of this bill. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday, January the 7th. It's our State Capitol Report coming up after 7. We do this every Monday between 7 and 8. We review the news of the week in state politics, and we preview the week to come. And we'll have a special edition of the State Capitol Report this time around, as it is the first Monday, the first State Capitol Report of the year. We're going to review the big state stories from 2007 and look ahead as to what issues, what will be making news in 2008 from our state capitol. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. And I see here, Senator Erpenbach, that you are one of the highlights of the week in review or the year in review, talking about health care and health care from 2007 and the fact that you're going to still want to do Healthy Wisconsin for 2008. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're calling it Healthy Wisconsin 2.0.
Okay.
It's coming out hopefully by the end of the month. We've making a couple of adjustments to how we deal with dual income families and how we deal with small businesses. But yeah, I mean, it was. I'm actually very proud of Healthy Wisconsin and just the fact that we have the state talking about what you know most everybody believes is the number one issue, and hopefully Wisconsin can lead the way in coming up with a progressive universal health care system that benefits everybody.
We'll talk more about that in our next hour, and I'm sure with you in the year to come. Right now we're talking about Senator Erpenbach's proposal to tax video games to help fund the juvenile justice system and put 17-year-olds who are currently treated as adults for nonviolent crimes in Wisconsin to put them into the juvenile justice system and treat them as juveniles and get them more rehabilitation and treatment as minors. Our next caller is Paul in Slinger. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I concur with the senator's position of having nonviolent 17-year-olds in the juvenile system, but the funding, it doesn't make sense to me. I think that the offset of savings taking them out of the adult system would more than offset the cost of processing them through the juvenile system. The problem I have with this is a rifle. Or he's attempting to have a rifle tax, but has he explored the cost of implementing and enforcing that tax and collecting it? And number two, in the next 5 years, I mean, gaming is going online in real time,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't have a physical presence in the state, they don't even. You're not going to be able to collect a sales tax, much less this special tax. So, you know, how much is coming from hardware that you're peddling or that you're going to tax in the state, and how much is coming from software? I'll bet you that it's probably 80-20 split. So you're not going to be able to tax the revenue stream that's going to be generated because everything is going online.
Mm-hmm. Now, you bring up a couple of really, really good points. I too think that the policy, obviously, I think is a good way to deal with it. Paying for it is questionable. And if there's a better way to deal with it, that's fine. But right now, I mean, we do have things in place right now. If you go to Best Buy or American TV or whatever and you buy a console or you buy software, the implementation is there to collect the tax already and get it back to the state. Where that doesn't necessarily occur would be the online games, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of online games right now, and whether someone buys a game over eBay or a console over eBay or Craigslist or whatever, you know, technically you're supposed to report that, but I don't know how many people do. But again, it's a situation where we also too might be saving some money, obviously on the adult end, whether it's enough money to save and pay for a larger juvenile system is you know that's kind of questionable, which again is why we came up with a funding source.
Thank you very much, Paul, for the call. Vicki in Manitowoc is with us now. Hi, Vicki.
Good morning. I think this is an excellent idea, and I certainly would like to commend Senator Erpenbach. It's a really progressive idea. I've worked a little bit with juvenile offenders only as a community volunteer. And I can tell you that there are programs out there like the Victim Offender Mediation Program. And he's quite right about, you know, there's a percentage of people here who really would benefit not from being cranked into the adult system. We know that the kind of really intensive one-on-one thing that they need is not given there. I appreciate the man who works for corrections calling in because I know he sees real problems too. But the population the senator's addressing is a real population, and it's those kids who still can be reached, who don't have a long record of violations, who've gotten to the edge of the program. And I just want to say that I think it could be very, very cost-effective. Wisconsin has a terrible record of incarceration. We incarcerate twice the people that Minnesota does because we're not dealing with things like prevention and alternative tracks. Some of these costs will be picked up in the community, but I can tell you that the volunteer groups like Victim Offender Mediation have a very positive future because they don't focus on punishment, which is the big thing that has held our programs back. We don't really remediate people. We send them out worse. So I want to say that, sure, his program is going to need fine-tuning and input, and it is certainly addressing the lack of attention that goes to the young kids who are still able to be impacted. I applaud this idea, and I applaud some progressive legislation.
Thanks, Vicki. Now you're going to hang out with Vicki, too, Senator Oppenbach.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I do appreciate it. Again, the controversy isn't the policy as much as it is how we're paying for it. And obviously kids are, you know, I've been contacted by kids about this. I did talk to my son about it, you know, and he certainly understands what I'm dealing with, although he was listening to his iPod, so I don't know if he heard me or not, but he nodded like he agreed. But no, it's a situation where he said, is this going to cost me more money? And I said, well, if it became law, it'd be 1% more. You know, so if you buy a game for $50, you're dealing with another 50 cents.
Yeah.
And explained to him, you know, what we were doing. And again, he wasn't real thrilled to death with the idea, but, you know, he understands that there's different ways to deal with different people.
Here's an idea from Brian in Monona. He emails, I think a 1% tax on attorney's fees would be a better choice and actually have some relationship to the problem you're trying to address.
Boy, that would generate a lot of money, wouldn't it? Maybe not as much as gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, attorney's fees are not taxed at all. In fact, no services are really taxed in this state. Although that, you know, is open to discussion now as we try to figure out a different way to pay for schools. But again, you know, it's an idea to pay for this. If it's not going to be the video games, maybe it could be the attorneys. Maybe it might be, you know, what was his name, Wallet, his idea of an alternative income tax.
Yeah.
But again, there's all sorts of different ways to try and pay for something like this. But it gets back to, I think, being responsible. That, you know, yeah, I think it's a good idea, but it's a better idea if we come up with a way to pay for it.
Next, we go to Mary in Nina. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was actually going to ask the same question that one of the previous callers asked. I agree with not putting 17-year-olds into the adult system. I think that's a great idea, and it's a long time coming. I was wondering if you've done any cost studies before you decided to add an additional tax to the taxpayers of Wisconsin on what the cost difference would be.
We tried to, but we really can't get our hands around that. I mean, this is a situation where if we knew to the dollar how much it would cost, then we'd be able to figure out exactly how much money the adult system would save, and we'd try and come up with a difference, if there was a difference. But we can't really get our hands around that. We do know it's going to cost money. You know, it's as much of a possibility that the savings that the adult system would see at the county level could pay for this. But we don't know that for sure. So in the meantime, again, it's my responsibility to say, we know this is going to cost money. We don't know how much it's going to cost. We don't know what the savings is going to be. But in the meantime, if it does cost more than we save, here's how we pay for it.
And you say it's your responsibility. It's not. You're doing this because you don't believe in unfunded mandates. But is there any? I mean, you don't have. Couldn't you just say let's treat 17-year-olds as
I mean, a lot of things that we do at the legislative level and that the governor does sign into law obviously cost money. And there's things that become law that turn into unfunded mandates, or they're underfunded, or they're funded for a couple of years and then the funding stops and the locals have to come up with a way to pay for it. But again, it's a situation where it doesn't matter if it's funded or not funded. In the end, taxpayers pay for it. So the responsible thing to do is to try and identify a funding source where the legislation originates. That would make it easier on the county, so the counties don't have to pass it on to the taxpayers at the county level.
Next, we go to Jason in Waukesha. Hi, Jason.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. Just a little bit about me. I'm a 31-year-old male. I've been playing video games my entire life, both violent and nonviolent, of every kind of video game you can think of. I've never been arrested for a violent offense. I do agree with the senator that putting 17-year-olds through the juvie system is a much better idea, especially nonviolent ones, but I can't disagree more with where he wants to get the funding from. I think that there are, as far as a possibility that targets 17-year-olds directly, would be learning driver's license, learning permits, taxing that. And if you tax that, I mean, that 17, that's the demographic you want to tax. Because, I mean, they're the ones that are getting the driver's license. So, I mean, taxing...
Right. We have just a minute to go to a quick reaction to that.
That's an idea. I mean, obviously, that would be a way to pay for it, too, to charge 16- and 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds more money to drive a car. But, again, it's a situation where, you know, I like what the caller did and the fact that he likes a policy and came up with a different mm-hmm. way to pay for it. So,
yeah, and we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for being with us.
All right, Joy.
Bye. John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton. Thanks to Cheryl Gasser and to Karen Prager for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, you can call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. You can also listen to our talk shows. They are all archived and stored on our website. You can listen on your computer at your convenience, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.